Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with Sam Zordich, my co-host, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And today's guest is Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Insurance Agencies. Chad, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We're here today to talk more about insurance topics, and one of them that's another requirement that employers really chafe at the bit at a little bit is workers' compensation insurance. Chad, what is that, and why do we have to have it?
Yeah, it's certainly not everybody's favorite topic, but workers' compensation insurance is a big bottom line item for a lot of business owners that are out there, and the workers' compensation line of insurance was designed to protect employees, of corporations for injuries that they sustain on the job. And there's two sides to a workers' compensation policy. It's going to cover you for any employer's liability, acts that an employer does, negligent acts that an employer does, putting employees in harm's way. And the other half is taking care of an injury, both for the indemnification of a claim, paying a person's lost wages, paying an employee's disabled. Living wages. The other thing is covering the medical expenses that are associated with a claim when it happens, going to the doctor and the rehabilitation and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. So, Chad, the workers' compensation requirement generally has been a requirement in the United States since about 1949?
I believe that's accurate, yes. All states require workers' compensation if you have employees. One of the things that you can do is if you're an owner and you have no employees, you can opt out of work comp. If your only employees are family members, direct family members, sons, daughters, a brother, sister, you can opt out for them too. They can exclude themselves for coverages. However, specific to the state of Minnesota, once you have more than 11 employees or you have, and I apologize, I don't know the amount of payroll hours, it is mandatory that you carry workers' compensation for yourself.
Oh.
So this is a form of insurance that provides medical care for employees who are injured in the course of employment in exchange for the relinquishment of the employee's right to sue his or her employer for the tort of negligence. This is by definition from Wikipedia.
I was going to say, Tom, that's impressive. We should maybe switch spots. How about I interview you?
Tort of negligence?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
We'll save that for John Cameron next time.
Yeah, I was going to say, we might want to get an attorney in here for that one.
But the question is still, I mean, how is it an employer's negligence defined?
Yeah, well, there's something that you see on a policy, and actually it's a great question because there's two parts on a work comp policy. There's a part A and a part B. And when a person looks at the work comp policy, they see these limits, and it might say 100,000, 500,000, 100,000. So a limit for 100,000 per disease, another limit of 500,000 per accident, and an aggregate limit. Those limits only apply in if an employer is proven to be negligent in an act. I've been in the business 18 years, and very rarely does that come up because Part B of the plan is the actual workers' compensation portion of it, which is the indemnification and medical coverage for that injury. Well, there's no limits to workers' compensation. It is what it is. If you hurt a finger or if you break a leg or whatever it is, it's by the state of Minnesota. There's some guidelines that have been laid out that say we will pay X for the following injuries. And rehabilitation costs are different. You know, in some situations where if you're a construction person and you've had permanent disability from the job, they've got to retrain you and they're going to put you in a different vocation potentially. So that's where there are, you know, the limits, there isn't any. And there's some confusion amongst a lot of owners that look at the policy limits and say, well, how did you pay $250,000? I've got a $100,000 limit. No, that's on the employer's liability side. Employer's liability, the only example that I can actually think of in 18 years was there was a situation where a contractor knew the air quality inside of a well was not up to standard and still had an individual go in who did not come back out. But the person was young, So it was an 18-year-old victim, and the situation there was the cost, the payment to settle the claim, was actually less than what it would have been to sue them for the employer's liability limit. Because unfortunately, we all have a value determined by the state as to what our life is worth. And it's contemplated by, you know, am I the only breadwinner in the family? How many children do I have? What was my pay?
Mm-hmm.
So an 18-year-old working in high school certainly isn't going to have the same things going on as you know, somebody who's been working for 20 years mm-hmm. and is a CPA or a banker or whatever. So there
and
are
has,
various...
And has a wife and children.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
And the more children, obviously, the more dependents and the higher the settlement would become.
Mm-hmm.
So back to this workers' compensation insurance. If you're a business owner and you have employees outside of family members, it's a requirement of the state of Minnesota that you have workers' compensation insurance.
The day you hire your first employee outside of the family, absolutely, you're required by the state of Minnesota to have coverage in place. Usually to get things started, what you'll do is the state has a pool. It's not the most attractive because of rates. So what they'll do, though, is you'll put yourself in, take out a pool policy, and you'll kind of grow, see how the company goes. Once you have a couple of years of experience, once your company has matured and you have more employees, then competition is going to step in and start to take a look at your account. But most people will start with filling out an application for the state pool. It's nothing to be afraid of. You know, people have heard a lot of negative things about it. They're going to handle a claim no different than anybody else. It's just that their rates are substantially higher.
So how do they calculate the premium on these things?
The calculation for any premium for workers' comp is based on your payroll, and it's per $100 of your payroll. So to get your pure rate, there's class codes that are defined. They're laid out by the state of Minnesota. So there are some rules. So that's one of the things that you want to pay attention to. If you're in a business where you've got multiple lines that you're working on, maybe you're a contractor, some of your people are doing plumbing, some are doing roofing, and some of them are doing concrete work. Well, those three class codes are going to have their own independent rate, and some are going to be substantially higher than another. So one of the things to control your cost is to do an audit and make sure that everybody's payroll is being put in the proper class code. So you don't want to have a person doing concrete work in that roofing code, because obviously the exposures contemplated there are a little bit different, and you're going to see a much higher rate. So that's something that you can do, and we'll get into in talking about how you control your workers' comp rates.
So the real contrast is if you've got someone in an office at a desk job as opposed to someone out digging ditches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, based on the exposure. So if you've got clerical, a clerical rate is going to be substantially lower. You might see, just to throw out some examples, a clerical rate usually is around 27 cents per hundred of payroll, whereas a roofing rate is going to be, you know, 25, 27, $30 per hundred.
Yeah, those carpal tunnel injuries are just horrid.
Oh, from the computers. I told you, technology is a scary thing, Sam.
I know.
New media will kill you. Now, Chad, what if you got an employee that has several job titles? Maybe they spend a day of the week in the office, and they spend another day of the week delivering, and they maybe spend another day of the week in sales.
Great. Actually, that's a terrific question. And how the state of Minnesota does that is they take whatever they contemplate the highest class code that you're involved in, and they take that exposure.
So if you're spending half the week in the office, you're not going
to... You really have to have an argument laid out stating that this is all their duties are for this day, and this is how we pay them. And because the payroll portion of it is how are they allocating payroll?
Mm-hmm.
Because that allocation of payroll is what an auditor is going to look like. So if you've got something where somebody's doing roofing and they're doing clerical 5 days of the week and one day of the week they're roofing, I know that's a kind of a horrid example, but they obviously don't want to have that payroll go into the roofing code. So you better be able to draw a very fine line.
Let's take the example. Maybe I've got someone that's a terrific telephone salesperson that's in the office 5 days a week and volunteered to be a delivery driver on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the time that they're spending is in the office and is office classification. Can I break that down and say I'm paying X amount of dollars for the office work and then I'm paying a different rate and a different amount for the delivery work, and will that stand up?
You know, I'd love to give you a straightforward answer, but on that, the state of Minnesota, well, the state of Minnesota is the rules they lay out. Now, there is some flexibility with carriers. That's something that you'd want to talk to your agent about and explain that exact situation so that the carrier is aware and you can show this. The state of Minnesota says they contemplate the highest rate. So that's just how it goes. Now, you can have these discussions like you just talked about when you say, listen, I can show you that 5 days of the week this employee is sitting here and making phone calls, and it's only on Saturdays, and here's the payroll for just that exposure on those Saturdays, and you can convince a carrier. I mean, it can be done. It's just that an auditor can certainly hold back and say, no, look, here's what we're required to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something. You want to have that agreement up front before you agree to do it, because otherwise an auditor at the end of the year, you're going to be paying your payrolls, and you're not going to be contemplating that exposure for that individual. Auditor comes in at the end of the year to review your numbers, catches it, and next thing you know, you're paying, you know, a high audit.
More than you might have needed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, leave it to the state of Minnesota to give us some more headaches to worry about. We're required to have, we have employees outside the family. We're required to have workers' compensation insurance. We're going to sit down with you and the carrier, I suppose, and classify our employees, and then we're going to pay our premiums based upon that. Are we dead? Is there anything we can do to control those costs?
Actually, there's quite a few things that you can do to control those costs, and that's really what I wanted to get at today. We've talked about that in a couple of other podcasts, and when you're shopping your insurance, things that you can do to control the costs. Workers' compensation is probably the best example of, if you're proactive as an owner and you're out there with your management team, it is the one line of business, more so than I feel any other line, that you can control that bottom line. And it is a big ticket item. So, you know, getting out there, putting together some very simple loss control procedures can help you immensely in the long run.
So does this get to safety training programs, or what are we getting into to help try to control those claims?
That's exactly right. You know, loss control. That's the biggest thing that's going to help you. We talked about earlier how the premium is paid for workers' compensation. You know, it's $100 of your payroll. One of the things that's factored in the state of Minnesota is something called an experience mod. And the experience mod is kind of a credit or a debit dependent upon how you're performing versus the industry. So what they do to determine an experience mod for you is they'll take a look at your past histories, the past 3 years that you've looked at, and then they're going to say, okay, here's an industry standard for where you should be, here's what your claims are versus that, and they either punish you or they reward you. So you will see a credit or a debit right out of the chute in this experience mod. Now, they start at a 1.0. If your claims are a little less than what they'd expect in the industry, you'll see it go above a 1, and everything above a 1 is a percentage of what you're going to be debited on your account before the underwriter even looks at it. So, for example, you've got a claim history and your mod is a 1.2 and you're paying $10,000 in premium, right out of the chute, they're going to apply a 20% debit to your account before they even look at it. An underwriter is going to look at your experience mod as kind of a factor for them to say, okay, this is an underwriting tool. You've got a high experience mod. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So to control that, yeah, so to control that with an experience mod, what you'd want to do, back to your loss control, by being proactive, the best way to keep things like that under control and to keep your claims under control is to never have them in the first place.
Right.
Now, you can't stop everything from happening, but if you're active with a safety control, with a safety program, active safety program, if you've got hiring and firing practices, if you do some drug testing, if you implement an AWARE program or a return to work program, all of these things can help you.
AWARE program?
An AWARE or a safety program, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the same. They call it an AWARE program or a safety program, where you designate an individual in the company and say, listen, you're in charge of kind of being my eyes and ears. You know, so people around the manager sometimes act a little bit differently
okay.
than they are around that person that's
yeah.
there day to day.
Yeah.
And it's important because, you know, the goal of any safety program is to make sure that nobody is injured. So everybody should be on board. And there's things that management can do to get people excited about that.
Sam, have you noticed that every time we talk to Chad about it, no matter what the issue is, we get to the underwriter?
I know.
The guy with the green eye shade sits in the back room and he's holding your life in his hands.
Right.
And he's
can
calculating
never, ever
experience
see him.
Mods. So
Tom's in trouble, I'm telling you. When he comes out tired to have his account underwritten, see some debits.
You got to get one.
I know what everybody's going to wear for Halloween around him.
And I have promised you I will be getting an underwriter in here so that we can have a little bit of a show off.
I'm looking forward to that.
So am I.
So what you're telling me, the premium is calculated by the payroll?
Correct.
Times the employee classification, and then it's modified by your experience or your claims experience as seen through the eyes of the underwriter.
Yep, yeah, that poor underwriter again. And the experience mod is something that they're going to be paying attention to. And one of the things that affects your mod is frequency of claims and claims over $10,000. So what they want to know is the same thing as an underwriter. If you've got a frequency of claims, what are you doing about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got claims going over $10,000 and you're seeing a high frequency of these, what are you doing about it? And they'll look at, when they're underwriting an account, that guy that Tom or that gal that Tom doesn't like that much, when they're looking at it, they're going to say, look, if they've got issues and management isn't addressing it, what are you doing about this? And that's going to drive premium straight up, because they're going to get a pretty good indication that you really don't care. Mm-hmm. And that is not a way that you want your account to fall on that underwriter's desk. You want them to see that, look it, we've had some issues, but guess what? We found some religion in here, and we've addressed them. We've got a safety, formalized safety program. We've got a return to work program that we've put in place. We've got some situations that we've addressed, and here's what we're doing moving forward. Mm-hmm. And all those things need to be spelled out.
Well, let's just say a business owner had an unlucky streak, and there was a sprained back and a bent finger, and a few things happened, and his premiums start shooting up. And he's looking for some help. How do I prevent these things from happening in the future? Do you come out and help him? Does the insurance carrier come out and help him? How do you do that? What's the mechanics of that?
You know, that's a terrific question right there, Tom, because one of the things that we've talked about in the past is when you're going out and shopping insurance, don't just look at the price. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking at the price, you're going to get what you pay for. Look at the value add that's being brought by carriers. Some carriers do a terrific job in putting, setting up and implementing loss control programs for you. Mm-hmm. Others do not have them. They just flat out do not have them. You ask them for it, they might send you some paperwork. And that's something that if you've got these issues, you know, it might cost you a little bit of money up front to do this, but it's going to save you money in the long run, because if you need help, you need to kind of scream mercy, sit down with your agent and say, look, I've got a problem. Here's what it is. How do we address this and how do we take care of it? There are carriers that do this extremely well.
I wonder how many business owners are aware of the workers' comp, that they can control that rate.
Usually they're not until something happens. You know, what Tom just said is what, yeah. You know, you come walking in, the experience mod is up to above a one, and they're going, what happened here? And mm-hmm. We start talking about some of the claims that have happened. You know, that's when they start to get frustrated. And a lot of them will just throw their hands up and say, you know what, that's why I buy it. And that's the worst attitude that you could possibly have, because that will cost you money.
That's throwing money out the window.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. And there are some things, like we talked about with these loss control programs, just by being proactive as a manager. And when employees see that you're going to care about what's going on, they're going to pay more attention to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything that happens with an injury in the workplace, for example, if you've got a manufacturing firm and you've got a trained technician and that trained technician is injured, I mean, the cost to the business is going to be immense.
Right.
So you've got the workers' compensation claim. Yeah, it's being picked up by your carrier, but now you've got to go hire somebody new. You've got to retrain them. You don't even know what you have yet. It might not be a person that's going to be the right fit, and you may have to revolve out and get somebody new. If that injury had never happened, you know, if you'd taken a timeout, gone back, talked to the individuals, made them aware of exposures in their area, mm-hmm. addressed it up front, you can sometimes offset those. Now, accidents are going to happen, but like we tell people, you want the cut finger, not the cut off finger.
Yeah.
You know, you want the pull, not the broken bone.
Right.
You know, Chad, once again, we're back to the case that, you know, a lot of businesses were started in the garage. It was a product or service they came up with, and they start selling it, and then they hire their first employee, and then they get a car, and then they get delivery people, and then they start to evolve. You know, they don't teach this stuff in school. Most of the business owners I talk to think about insurance and they think, oh, necessary evil, I have to have this stuff. But they don't get beyond that and say, where do I find the help to control these costs? Where do I find the help to make sure that I'm running a safe workplace, that my drivers are drug tested and they're out there sober and clean driving trucks and delivering things? And where do they get this kind of help? I mean, you've kind of answered the question, do you do this? Do you bring the insurance company in? Do they bring in loss control experts? Do they put on training programs? Walk me through an example, will you?
And what you're talking about here is usually what will happen is that the business owner has just never been made aware of it. Mm-hmm. They just don't know. You hit it right on the head. And it's the agent. Is it their responsibility? Sometimes it is. But if there's an issue that's going on, the manager or the owner also has to say, hey, listen, I've got a problem. Is there anything? They need to ask the questions too. An agent should know going in, if you see a high mod, what's going on? See, that's the first thing an underwriter is going to look at. They're going to look right at that, and that's kind of the factor. That's almost the thermostat, if you will. Are they running a temperature or not?
Mm-hmm.
If it's over a one, why is it over a one? And what can we do to fix it? So then the next thing that we would do is we would break it down to find out where those claims were coming from. Do we have a trend? Mm-hmm. Okay, can we correct this trend? Have they done anything to correct this trend?
Quick interruption. What is a low-end mod?
Mods can go as low as the state will allow, which is, I believe, a 0.65.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't happen all that often.
Okay.
You know, most mods, usually if you're in the eights, you know, if you're running like an 85 or an 80, that's pretty good. And you're going to be rewarded from the underwriter. I mean, there's another thing in controlling those costs and looking at your experience mod. when the industry churns, right now we're in a soft market, meaning there's excess capital and that the underwriting has loosened and the terms and conditions are pretty easy. When the market hardens, terms and conditions and rating generally increase with it. And what will happen is reinsurance treaties, which are the arrangements that these carriers have with other insurance companies, they're the terms laid out by them. If you have a high mod, they will come down and they'll say in our treaty agreement, you can't write anything over a 1.25. So now you're alienating some of these people that may not have some issues, you know, not major issues. They had a shock loss or something like that, but they're saying flat out, you can't write them. So now your marketplace starts to shrink. Competition is shrinking and your premiums are going to follow. I shouldn't say they're not going to follow. They're going to go the other way. They're not going to shrink. They're going to go up substantially.
So back to the question. We've got a problem.
Yeah, I got off track. I'm sorry about that.
And we go to the insurance carrier. Do they provide loss control experts that come out and help resolve the problem?
They will. But you've got to find the right carrier. Not all carriers have that. That's a question that the management team needs to have with that agent. Find me a carrier and tell me how much it's going to cost to address my loss control issues. And there are also third-party vendors that are usually people that have broken off from insurance companies and started their own firms that do just that. Now, there's going to be a fee, again, assigned to that. Mm-hmm. And you got to look at what you're paying for your work comp and the fee that these people are going to charge and say, listen, is this cost-effective for me? Because in every situation, it's not going to be the case. But in most, spending a little time with the loss control, at least letting them set up your employee hiring practices, setting up a drug testing program for you, a safety program, helping you with your return to work so that you can get light duties in place for individuals that have been injured, because you don't want to have those people go home when they've been home for a handful of days, then they kind of get that victim mentality. We want them back to work and feeling good.
Let's get this really concrete. So a mod of 0.65, let's say, mm-hmm. and a mod 1.0.
Yep.
What's the difference on the, per $100 of payroll?
It's not going to affect your rate there, because you're going to have a state is going to, they're going to file their rates with the state of Minnesota for their class codes and what they want to have for that individual class code rate. Where the experience mod comes into play is the claim history. So we determine a premium. So let's say, for example, to keep things simple, a person has a dollar rate.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're paying $1,000. So you got $1,000, divide that out by 100. So you multiply that times, now you've got your premium, you multiply that times your mod factor.
Okay.
So your experience mod, if it's a 1.0, your premium doesn't change. If it's a 0.65, you take 35% right off the top.
Gotcha.
The underwriter can't mess with that in any way, shape, or form.
So what you need to look for, if you've had some trouble, is an insurance carrier that will help you provide some training and institute some safety plans and what have you, who also has an underwriter that will take that into account when he's calculating that experience modification.
And they will. I mean, as much as we've got issues with underwriters, they will. Yeah, everybody knows I love, for all those listening, I love all my underwriters. They will all take that into account. I mean, that is something that they're going to look at. If they've got a mod, the first thing that's going to go off, it's a red flag is going to pop up. This person has a 1.35 mod, which means they either had a catastrophic event, which that's one thing that they'll underwrite off. But if they see a trend, the next question they're going to ask is, why does this keep happening? And what are you doing to stop this from happening? Have you addressed the lifting concerns? Have you addressed, you've had some slip and falls. Have you addressed maybe putting on those slip-resistant shoes or slip-resistant floors? Mm-hmm. What are you doing that's any different? Why should I write your account when this is what the history has been?
No, I'm going to have to cover it.
Exactly.
Well, Chad, if we had some minor injuries, is there anything a business owner can do to help those people get back to work quicker, and will that help with your insurance as well?
Absolutely. That's that return to work program. Having a formalized return to work program is going to help immensely, because what you can do is put a person upon the doctor's request, here's the orders and what they can do, instead of doing the job of, if they're working in the warehouse, maybe now they're working in the office. They can answer phones. There's other things that you can do. Get that person back to work. Don't let them sit at home. When you sit at home, you get the victim mentality.
Ugh.
Is there anything a business owner can do to help control the medical costs involved in some type of a minor injury?
That one's difficult, because what happens, and the one thing I will tell business owners is that report all injuries. Do not just pay that injury. You're required by contract.
First report of injury.
The first report of injury. Yep,
how
when a claim happens. Yep, get that in within 24 hours. You need to file it with whoever your agent or the company is. And that is important. Some people will say, well, it was a cut finger and I don't want to have it on there because I'm concerned about a trend or whatever it's going to be. By not reporting, if that thing was to blow up, they can deny coverage. because you did not put them on notice that a claim had happened, and the insurance company could go back and defend themselves by saying, you never told me this happened, and we would have handled it differently.
Mm.
So report all injuries. Do not pay them yourself. It's as frustrating as it can be. If you want to do something to control your cost on these nuisance, if you will, injuries, set up a deductible plan. And what a deductible plan is you're going to be on the hook for the first $100 or $250 of any claim that comes across, no different than how it works with property, mm-hmm. and do it that way. And what will happen is the company will pay it first dollar, but then you'll get quarterly billings. And they'll say, you know, we had the following injuries, and you were on the first $100 of them, so you owe us, you know, whatever it was. If it was four injuries at $50, you owe us $200.
Chad, is there anything a business owner could do about fraud and abuse? I know that with soft tissue injuries, like people bending over, picking up a box, oh, I threw my back out, and, mm-hmm. you know, how do you, is there anything you can do to recognize those? Anything you can
Unfortunately, all you can do is kind of send it in with a wink and just say, you know what, I'm not real comfortable with how this happened. It was a Monday morning injury. We know that the person was water skiing all weekend. You know, just keep an eye on this one. But other than that, they will investigate. Insurance companies take fraud very, very seriously, and as well they should. It costs all of us billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And not millions, billions. So they will pay very close attention to a claim that they feel is fraudulent. So if people think they're going to get away with it, even though some have, and you don't want to get caught. So you know, so they, again, those listening that think you can get away with it and no one's paying attention, trust me, they figured out how they can catch you.
Chad, is there anything we haven't covered that a business owner can do to help try to control those costs?
I think we cover it all in loss control, you know, and being proactive. I think that's the most important message that people should take away, regardless of the size of your company. Sometimes you're not going to get the benefits of real large corporations because mm-hmm. they're going to have an on-site safety person. But a smaller company with 5 employees or 10 employees can take it upon themselves to enact these same techniques. And the information is out there. It's you just have to ask your agent about it or ask the carrier about it. You're not going to see monthly loss control meetings if you're a real small company, just to be honest with you, because the premium is not cost effective for the company. But you can still pull that information and do a learn and mm-hmm. go out and apply the same techniques in your business. So and it will save you money.
It can be as simple as looking around your plant and trying to eliminate any unsafe conditions, or as complicated as calling in the insurance company and putting in a sophisticated training program if you've got some high-powered equipment that could be dangerous that you're running.
Yeah, and one of the things you can do if you're a small like manufacturing company, have that loss control person come up because they're probably going to visit just to make sure you're saying who the agent said you were. And when they're in there, have them take a walk around and say, hey, listen, can you send me those list of recommendations if you have any? And start with that. Then pull your employees in and say, listen, we want to have a safe work environment. Do you guys have any concerns? You know, keep it open, keep it on the table. If they're concerned about bringing it up to you, then have some sort of off-site or mailbox or something that they can anonymously put information in to talk about issues that they see during the day. You might even want to put together some sort of incentive program. That works really well, and it doesn't have to be money. It can be, you know, some sort of pizza party, or it can be, yeah, so little things work.
Yeah, yeah.
Little things.
Sam, once again, Chad is convinced us that if we can be proactive with these costs of insurance and put some training programs in place and talk to your independent agent about how can I control those costs, there are some things that can be done.
Yes.
This has been an interesting discussion of a topic that is sensitive to many business owners, workers' compensation insurance. We're about out of time for today, so I'm Tom Lyons for my co-host Sam Zordich. Our producer, Georgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt family of insurance agencies for being with us on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.